Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and back with me is Jakob. And we've got you brought someone new with you today.
I did.
So welcome to the show. Before we get started, why don't you introduce yourself again, and then we'll have you introduce yourself.
Sure, I'm Jakub Cimaszek. I'm a program manager in Azure SQL Database, SQL Server team. I work on security features for these two platforms, particularly Always Encrypted.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Kev, and I am in the program management team for tooling, and I worked on the SSMS SQL Server Management Studio experience for Always Encrypted.
Perfect. So we had you here probably just a few months ago talking about Always Encrypted, and at that time it was going into what I think private preview
and Azure SQL Database and CTP2 and SQL Server.
Yeah, SQL Server, and we had you in just to talk about and kind of introduce what it is.
Yep.
You're back because this is going into public preview.
That's correct.
And we want to talk about a few things. Kind of, let's for those that didn't watch our last video, you know, what is Always Encrypted?
Sure.
And then kind of what scenarios do you see people using Always Encrypted? Mm-hmm. And then kind of we'll go through. So what is
absolutely.
Always Encrypted?
Right. So Always Encrypted is a new encryption technology in SQL Server, Azure SQL Database. What's really unique about it, it's a client-side encryption technology, unlike TDE, Transparent Database Encryption, for example. So here with Always Encrypted, the data gets transparently encrypted, decrypted, by a driver like ADO.NET inside a client application. So the driver encrypts the data before it goes to the database, and it transparently decrypts the data retrieved and query results. So it's a client-side encryption. The server doesn't know the keys. The server doesn't see the data in plain text. Exactly, right.
Okay. Right. Completely done on the client side.
That's right.
Okay.
Completely done on the client side, the server only knows, maintains certain metadata about encryption, but it doesn't perform cryptographic operation.
Okay.
It's unable to encrypt, decrypt data.
How do you see the adoption of this? Is this driving excitement? You know, does this, because I think when you were here, this we talked about, you know, some of the compliance that this sort of helps solve
as far as
an adoption and things like that, right?
Yeah.
What? How do you see people using this?
Right. So we see people using it in several different types of benefits, if you will. So primarily, this feature is about reducing the attack surface area. So basically, by using this feature, you remove the database from the picture. So even if an attacker gets a possession of the database or the system hosting the database, your data is safe because it's encrypted and the keys are not there.
Right.
So people are using it exactly for that, to basically reduce the attack surface area and therefore the probability of the attack and the data compromise. And also we see customers using this feature to more confidently store data in the cloud, in Azure SQL Database. It basically provides assurance that even cloud platform database administrators who have high level of privilege will not be able to access your data. And the same applies to your DBAs, your on-premise DBAs or DBAs maintaining and the database in the cloud, which gives you some interesting, you know, cost benefits. For example, you could choose to delegate your DBA duties outside of your compliance boundary for cost reduction benefits, for example.
Great. And that's great, because I think we see some very much a lot of excitement around anytime we're talking security, right? A lot of excitement around, you know, great, my data is secure, right? So
right.
I think it makes, I think there's some value and some benefit there. So what's new since you were here last? I can't remember when, like May, April, May, June timeframe, probably around then. What's new since then?
Right. So the main two new things are, well, we are excited about our public preview of this feature in Azure SQL Database. So that's one big new thing we're really excited about. And secondly, we are bringing a new user experience for this feature in SQL Server Management Studio. which we believe will make using this very complex security feature dramatically simpler, or very, very simple. It will be very easy to use. So that's what we are.
Last time we talked about this, I think we set it up in the portal, right? It was all done. Was it all done through the portal?
You mean Azure portal?
Yeah,
no,
the Azure portal?
No. It's well, all our tooling so far has been in SSMS. We'll be gradually expanding to other. Well, tooling platform like
Let's
SQL Server Data
the
Tools.
Video. I can't remember.
Yeah.
So what you're saying now is a much better experience to.
It's much better experience. Exactly.
Okay.
So yeah. So we particularly trying to make it very easy to start using this feature for data developers out there. So you'll see in a moment how easy it is to basically encrypt a few columns in the database and get going with Always Encrypted. Yeah.
So for those that haven't seen the first video, maybe we recommend go watch the first video. But you know, that's what kind of sort of why we covered the kind of introduction here,
that's
which is great.
That's right.
So why don't you? Can we jump out and do a demo and see kind of how easy it is? Because you know, we're always as long anytime you make things easier, that's good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right.
Why don't we do that? All right. So here I have SQL Server Management Studio opened, and I'm connecting to a database, my test database. I'm wearing a hat of a data developer here. And this database, it's very simple. It has just a few tables, one of which is particularly interested, and actually you might remember it from the previous video. It's the same sample in the database and set of tables.
Looks really familiar.
Right. So we have this patients table, which, as you can see, contains some sensitive information, social security number, for example.
Yep.
Right? And there is a schema of the table on the right-hand side of the window. Again, nothing unusual here. Again, it's one worrisome thing is that anybody who connects to the database and has a permission to query it will get this sensitive information in plain text, right?
Yep.
So here we're going to show you how you can fix this problem very easily, again using this new enhanced user experience, the new UI that we're bringing in, the new version of SSMS.
Okay.
Right?
Are you running? What version of SQL are you running here, just out of curiosity?
Right, so this version of SSMS ships in CTP3 of SQL Server.
CTP3, okay.
Right, and it will be also, of course, it will be available for download for our SQL database customers as well.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here we know where our sensitive information is. So it's in this patient's database. We right click here and we choose encrypt columns. So it's a new option that we have added, and what it opens is it starts the wizard, the Always Encrypted Encrypt Columns wizard. First you see this introduction page. We covered pretty much already what this feature is about, but if you don't know, you can learn a little bit about it by reading basic information here. We go to the next step, and here we basically need to select what we want to encrypt. So as we said, we have a social security number that we care about. It's a sensitive piece of data. Maybe let's pick one more like birth date. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically select columns that we want to encrypt. Okay. In the next step, one key decision that we need to make is choose what we call encryption type for each of these columns. So what is encryption type? In this version of the feature, we support two types of encryption, randomized and deterministic. And basically, the choice here is between the level of security and functionality. So randomized, it's a more secure encryption algorithm, encryption option, but it offers limited functionality. You cannot basically query columns encrypted using randomized encryption.
Okay.
With deterministic encryption, you get more functionality. You can do equality lookups, equality joins. You can use a group by clause, but there is greater exposure from the perspective of security. An attacker potentially can examine patterns of encrypted data, and especially if you have very small data set like let's say true or false, male or female.
Right, okay.
This could be easy to guess. So something to be cautious and careful about.
Okay.
All right. So let's proceed. Let's pick, let's say, deterministic for SSN, assuming that we want to be able to look up by SSN in a patient. and let's encrypt birth date just for a change using randomized encryption, okay? And that's pretty much everything that I need to set up in this step. There is one more detail that I want to point you to, which is in this column, we are prompted to basically review the configuration of the keys for this feature. So okay. I want to point out that this feature STD, as a matter of fact, it uses a hierarchy of keys. We have two types of keys. We have column encryption key, which is a regular symmetric key used to encrypt data in the database.
Yep. Okay.
And we have a master key, a protector, a key that protects column encryption keys. So column encryption keys are encrypted with master keys, basically, right?
Okay.
And here in this screen, what we are basically saying that, well, if you don't have any of these keys, you don't have to worry about it. We will generate them for you.
Okay.
And that's what this little comment in the parentheses tells us, that this particular key with the name that is proposed here will be generated by that tool for us. Okay. So let's proceed to the next step. Okay. And the next step, again, we said that we want auto-generated column encryption key. The same applies to the master key. So that okay. wizard will generate the master key for us. Now we need to give the wizard a little bit of a little hint here. So basically it asks us now where we want to store this column master key. And we have two options here. One option is certificate store, Windows certificate store. And the other option is Azure Key Vault, and that's something that is particularly attractive for Azure SQL database yep. customers, of course, right? So let's pick this option, okay? And now we are prompted to sign into Azure, so let's do that, okay? I will need to enter my login name, okay? And since we have multi-factor authentication enforced on this particular subscription,
whip out the phones.
Yeah, there will be. We'll have to pick up the phone, and Azure will call us. Hopefully, this will not last too long. Okay, now we are almost signed into Azure. We are signed into Azure now. Soon. Here I can see the list of my subscriptions I have in Azure. So I can pick one of them, and then in it, I can see the list of my Azure Key Vault instances.
Okay.
And I can pick one of them. So I'm picking that particular Key Vault, and this is the Key Vault where the new generated master key will be placed.
Okay.
So we proceed to the next step. So here we are presented with another choice. We can either generate a script for this entire operation, encrypting these two columns as a PowerShell script to be executed later in an automation tool, for example. Or we can proceed with the execution, which is what we are going to do. And here is the list of things that the wizard will do for us. So it will generate a master key, place it in Key Vault, and then it will generate column encryption key, encrypt it with the master key, and upload it to the database in the encrypted form. It will be stored in the database metadata. Okay. And subsequently, we'll encrypt these two columns that we picked. All right. So we click Finish, and that workflow is now triggered. Now, this is a good time to emphasize, perhaps while we're waiting for it to complete, that this is quite complicated workflow and process that is happening here. So basically, the data is downloaded to where SSMS is running and then uploaded back to the database to a temporary table. And on upload, it gets transparently encrypted by the driver, and that temp table is swapped with the original table.
Okay.
So it's quite a complicated workflow. So we're really hoping that we hiding this complexity and making it much easier for our customers to use this feature now. All right, so we done with encryption. So let's actually see what happened. Let's explore the results of what we have done. So let's rerun this query that you see here. Okay, so this is the first interesting thing that I want to emphasize. So as you can see now, the values in the SSN and birthday column appear as var binary encrypted blobs. Mm-hmm. Okay. But now, all right, so, but what if I actually want to get plain text data, and assuming that I have access to the key, that master key stored in Azure Key Vault that I have just configured, I should be able to do that, right? So let's try that. So here's what I'm going to do. I actually change the connection for this particular query in a way that instructs SSMS and the driver within SSMS to try to transparently decrypt the data for me on the retrieval. Okay, so let's do this and let's rerun this query now. Okay, we see plain text again, and the reason we see plain text is because well, I'm the guy who provisioned the key in Azure Key Vault. So I have access to it, obviously. I instructed SSMS and the driver to do this transparent decryption for me on my behalf. The driver is trying to decrypt the column encryption key using that master key and subsequently decrypt the data. So everything works beautifully. But now the question is, what happens if somebody else who is not supposed to see the data, what they are going to see in either of these cases, right?
Like that guy.
Yeah, like that guy, exactly.
That's where I come in.
Yeah. All right.
So let me log into my machine and get to the same database. And I see the same Object Explorer as Jakub was showing us.
Yep.
And we see the same table, patients table. I want to confirm whether I see the encrypted data, because he has just encrypted the data. And so let me go ahead and look at the right-click menu and select the top 1,000 rows for the patients.
And
I see that the SSN is encrypted, and as well as the birth date is encrypted, and all the ciphertext. But I want to do the same thing that Jakub did and try to put this flag on for column encryption setting to be enabled and see if I can decrypt it.
Okay.
But I don't have access to his Azure Key Vault. So let me see if this works by going in and trying to change some of the connection parameters. And I go in and I add this particular flag.
Yeah. So you're doing the same thing that
same
I did before,
I did.
Right?
I want to see, I want to decrypt the data.
Okay, you need to execute the query now.
And re-execute.
All right. So now what's interesting, the SSMS is prompting Kev to sign into Azure because it detects that the master key used to protect this result set is stored in Azure.
Okay.
So he needs to sign in. But let's see if that is going to be successful.
So we're going to be waiting for the same multi-factor authentication here.
He was probably checked in already. Yeah, he was already, he signed in before, but anyway. What
so I couldn't access, I couldn't decrypt. It says failed to decrypt column SSN. And basically what you said about this feature, some of based on the authentication, I cannot actually access the key vault that he has provisioned. So
that's right.
So this is interesting because at the very beginning of this show, we said, you know, if you go back to your side, it says, you know, it's from the client side. Right. When we say client, are we talking, because I imagine from the, you know, the application side, but we did everything here at the database level. So how does, if I have an application, talk client, you know, okay, we can okay, SQL Server Management Suite is the client, right? But no, not in this case.
Sure.
If I've got a client out there, I just encrypted it. How does it know about the key? Right. So how do we do this from the, where's the disconnect here?
Right, right. Very, very good question. So basically, what you need, let's say you have a number of client applications in this particular scenario where the database is using a key stored in Azure Key Vault. Mm-hmm. What you need to do, you need to configure all these applications to have access to your Azure subscription, and you need to grant these applications that are running under certain identities, I suppose, right?
Okay.
So we need to grant those identities under which apps are running access to that particular key. And that's
In Azure Key Vault or?
In Azure Key Vault.
Okay.
In Azure Key Vault, that's right. And that that's pretty much it. You don't have to worry about, as you ask, transferring the knowledge about which keys is used to protect which data.
Right.
The driver and the server take care of it. So the moment.
Yeah. So yeah. In that case, the let's have you know. Windows 10 application, doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would essentially act like it did here, like SQL Server Management Studio. It would go get the Azure Key Vault,
right?
Just like SQL Server Management Studio did, essentially.
That's right. Providing that you have integrated your application in Azure Key Vault, we have a library that encapsulates what we call an Azure Key Store provider, which is a little component that you need to instantiate in your app make sure that it can authenticate properly to Azure, and that's it.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe we have you come back and do a show on that, right?
Absolutely.
Because I think there's some things that we'd love to dive a little deeper in on this, just because I think this is fantastic, mm-hmm. but I think there's things like, okay, how do I instantiate this? Where are the API and things like that, and maybe dive a little deeper into this. But
certainly
this is fantastic. It was very easy to set up, like you said. Great job on the, on the tooling, but at that it's fantastic, right? It's there's the granularity of who has access to it and things like that. What's the from a security standpoint? Mm. What's the since the master key stored in the Azure Key Vault, mm-hmm. Is there a potential for that? From the application, we're bringing that down from the client, to the client. Is there any potential for any man-in-the-middle attack type of thing, or a security violation there?
No, all that communication is if you're asking about security for in transit, for transferring the keys, all this is done over encrypted SSL, TLS
connection. Should be fairly difficult.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Should be safe.
Jakob, thank you so much. Thank you for coming. It was great job playing the bad guy.
Well,
great job helping design all
the user experience that you have seen.
Okay,
here.
So public preview. If they have any questions about, viewers have any questions about, mm-hmm. or have any feedback, what's the best way to get hold of you, or how do they provide feedback?
Well, we have forums
CSS,
and connects.
Forums.
Okay. Yep. All right, forums, CSS, things
like that. Yeah, so the best way to reach out on forums and, of course, CSS, and we have SQL Server Security blog that we'll publish regularly, various best
insiders,
practice
articles
and so on, so you can submit your comments and feedback there as well.
Perfect, awesome.
Cool.
Well, Jakob, thank you for coming. It's
a pleasure
to have you. We'll love to have you on more to discuss this more detail.
Looking forward to that.
All right, thanks
thank
everybody.
You. Thank
thanks
you.
For watching. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thank you.